This is a replay of the Wednesday, August 14th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. As I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And I usually look for starter stories, things that might be of interest. And well, I guess I discovered, thanks to Carol, that it is, you'll be very pleased to know, that it is every year at this time, National Creamsicle Day. Yeah, I don't know who started this, but apparently it's caught on enough that it's every August 14th. The creamsicle, which started out as vanilla ice cream on a stick covered by orange juice, all right, if you want, has since morphed into any ice cream covered by any fruit juice. So, yeah, so your choice. And, of course, due to the popularity of the popsicle, the creamsicle quickly caught on. I don't know why, but today is the day, so if you haven't yet, enjoy, if you want to call it that, a creamsicle. All right, yes, we were reaching. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Brian is in Joliet. What's up tonight, Brian?
Good evening, Raleigh. Hope you're having a good one. The reason I'm calling is because I was interested, and I asked John the name of the ghost lady. I believe you said Miriam?
Yep, Mary Ann Winkowski.
Oh, Mary Ann?
Yes.
Okay. The thing was, I was interested in how did you first encounter Mary Ann as the ghost lady, and when was the last time you had her on? Because I haven't heard her yet, and I would be interested.
I'd have to look to see the last time I had her on, and I'll do that. It's been a while because she's been unavailable. She's had a lot going on in her life in terms of health problems and her husband and all that. But the last time we had her on, six times in 2022, and not since then. I've known Mary Ann since the 90s. And actually, I first met her because of Art Bell. And Mary Ann just has a wonderfully infectious personality, and we became friends. So that's how.
You'll be having her on
She wants, you know, again, and I feel terrible. John always chides me during the day. You got to call Mary Ann. And then, yeah, I will. And the next thing I know, I'm on the air and I don't. So I will do this in the next few days, no matter what. And, you know, the door's always open. She's got a lot going on. And whenever she feels that she wants to do it, that's when she'll do it.
Are you familiar with the late Richard Crowe?
By name, I didn't know him.
Well, he used to do, he graduated from college, some kind of science, and then he got the notion of becoming a quote, ghost hunter, and he used to show up on, what was this, Big Ed Schwartz?
Oh, yeah, Eddie Schwartz, of course. Well, he's a Chicagoan, obviously, and he used to do the tours, and he was, born and died in Chicago, and he was probably the first ghost tour company, And but he's been dead now over a dozen years, I think. And he had ghost tours all over. And yeah, Eddie and would have him on because he's a great guest, you know. And so sadly, nobody's heard from him since. You know, with these people who were in touch with the other side, I often wish that they could come back and still be in touch. Tell us how it's going, you know, but nothing.
Well, I had dinner with Richard Crowe once, and a very nice individual, and made me sad to hear he passed on. As far as human specters, human spirits go, I'm somewhat of a skeptic, but I always find it. I found his shows hair-raising when he was on the radio anyway. So,
and, you know, it's interesting about him because he was no slouch. He had a master's degree in English Lit, and he taught high school, and then he was a city planner at City Hall in Chicago. And he started these tours in 1973, and immediately they sold out. And so within a few years, I think before the 70s ended, he left his position at City Hall because he was doing the Supernatural tours full time. And he wrote a book, Chicago Street Guide to the Supernatural, and which is kind of nice. And so, he was a real deal, died very young. It was pancreatic cancer, I'm sorry to say, because he was born in 1948, so he was a young man when he died.
Yeah.
64.
Well, that answers my questions. I'll look forward to it. I'm sure you'll fill everybody in as to when Marianne's going to be on.
You betcha. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. And, oh, is she ever the real deal? That's for absolute sure. And Richard, by the way, Richard Crowe did this to his dying day. He had a tour planned that had to be canceled because he died. Yeah. Now, I don't, I don't know that he professed that he was actually talking to said ghosts, but he had great tours anyway. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Dennis is in Colorado. Dennis, what's happening? First, I have to get you on the air. There we go.
Weather that you could probably only dream of in Scottsdale today.
What? Tell me.
Well, 48 degrees, for one.
48 degrees. Well, yeah. Of course, Colorado, you know, that's the thing. You're now at the point where it could snow any day.
That's true. I've seen it. I've seen it in September.
Yeah.
Anyway, I haven't heard Rick from Northern California in quite a while. Has he called in lately?
I have not heard from him. My gosh, it's probably been over a year. You're right. I hope he's well.
Yeah, well, because he and I, when we were both on, we connected through you and we spoke about radio station KAHI in Auburn, who had suffered some difficulties. He used to serve three counties there very well.
Right.
Lost two of its towers. And it fumbled along at a kilowatt non-directional for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, I just checked in the FCC database, and they're back up with three towers and 5 kilowatts. But they've gone all religious.
Well, because they're owned by Relevant Radio. That's why.
Oh. Well, my thing showed it was owned by KAHI Incorporated or something. That might be old information.
You can go to relevantradio.com, and I think you'll be able to.
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, then you'll know. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's probably where the money is, because they have a heck of a signal in Northern California.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was, we were concerned it might go to the dark side, but it exactly didn't. I guess I hope it supports itself.
Right.
But a friend of mine in Connecticut called me and said WZBG in Connecticut was for sale, and he was scared it was going to go to the dark side because he enjoys a nice, local, beautiful station, WINY, which is still family-owned. But WZBG, he told me, did, after 30 years, it sold, but it did stay with private local ownership. So it's another one saved.
Well, the deal is that's an FM station. I think that's, 97.3? And the last I heard on that, it was owned by, the Boys and Girls Club locally. And so the deal was that dial position back in the 80s, in the good old Docket 80-90 days, moved to Litchfield from New York. It was in New Paltz. And that was 1984. Oh. And then it was Dick Ebersol, NBC sports guy, and others who got the construction permit to build it there. And I guess it signed it on in 92. But when it signed on in 92, it was mostly doing Jones. syndicated out of course, Colorado. And so I think that the Boys and Girls Club might have been the people who put it up for sale. That I don't know. But let me look it up. But I'm sure the Boys and Girls Club had it. But I think they would be the seller.
Yes. No, the selling group was Boys and Girls
Club. Okay, here's the owner. John Fuller's Red Wolf Broadcasting. So
okay, I don't know the new owners. I just know it's sold to a local party.
Yeah, right. He's got SNG in Torrington, so among others. So yeah, full power radio is what Fuller's group calls themselves. So yeah, they're absolutely still on the air. Easier when it's FM. Usually when you see that the station's going dark, sadly, it's almost always an AM.
Yeah, and so many tower relocation CPs are up. People are losing their tower sites, and they're combining with one and two other stations.
Yeah,
on the same tower.
Right. It's not that difficult to diplex like that, but the deal is it's helpful if you're more than 100 kilocycles away. So, a 1020 could be there maybe with an 1120, but I wouldn't want to see them with an 1100, though I have. I have seen them as close as 60 kilohertz difference. And, it depends how they're insulated and combined and all those kind of things.
Well,
and
that's a tuning challenge. And what's nice is if you're a station at 15-something and you're diplexing with somebody on 650, you're going to have one heck of a signal with not a lot of power because it's a half-wave antenna and they perform like crazy.
Right. As long as it's engineered right, yes. And as long as it's not a harmonic. So you want to make sure of that. But other than that, yeah. And of course, this has been going on since the 80s, really, that stations have turned in their licenses because the tower site's worth too much. And back when it was first happening, it wasn't as easy to diplex as it is now. And so you're seeing a lot of people, and let's face it, most stations are going to be corporate owned to some degree, and it's really hard to tell the investors that we got $100 million offer, but we're going to keep this AM there instead. usually won't work out well.
Mm-hmm. You've been discussing a little KAAY down in Little Rock.
Yeah.
Do you still have any open questions about that? I'm going to be in Little Rock most of next week.
I think they're operating under that construction permit there, which surprises me because I would have thought they wanted a killer nighttime signal because, after all, they are religious. Granted, it's Cumulus, but I would have thought, it's a lot of preaching and teaching. Sell to those preachers. That 50,000 watts was pretty pretty irresistible. But as far as I know, they're not doing anything at night. So take a listen and tell me what you find.
Yeah, I'll see if I can cruise by the tower site with the radio.
Speaking
of radio, I'm not going to lug that down here, but I've had now for about a year a beautiful little, beautiful big Zenith Transoceanic.
Oh, yes.
With a big rechargeable battery pack in it. It weighs a ton, but it is very sweet listening.
Well, yeah, like I always say, they claim they were portable because there's a handle on the top. No, they were they were luggable. But do you have one old enough that it's a tube unit?
No, it's just after the tubes, but before the latest solid state. It's a big box. It's not the ones that came out in the 70s that were smaller and more compact.
No.
But,
I remember
the battery lasts forever.
Yeah, I remember those tube units. I had one of those, all black, and it weighed more than I did when I was a kid, I really believe. Yeah. It was
They
was
were nice
great.
Sounding, though.
Yes. And I think the last one I had might have been a B100, which is a little later, early 60s. But yeah, they're great radios. And, even those little Zenith portables, those early transistors that they had, that Royal series, the 275 and 265, 285, those were terrific reception radios.
Yep. Well, they did it right with the right filters.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing. Now, I know you did it with held your nose while you did it, but you played Winchester Cathedral.
I did.
And it brought back a memory. I was a DJ on a little FM in California for a while, and I, of course, probably the only people that were listening were family, but we had everything, and I played that song and dedicated it to my grandmother. And I think back, that might have been an insult. I don't know.
I doubt it. I remember that so well. You'd be on these radio stations, like in the mid 60s, I'd be on these FM stations, and literally I'd have to buy friends' radios to be able to hear me because nobody had them.
Yeah, no,
absolutely. All right.
One question.
Yeah.
You're going to think, this is going way back. Are you still in touch with Captain, was it Sheehan, the airline pilot?
I have not been.
Hmm.
But I probably have an email address or phone number that I can pass along to you.
It'd be fun for him to come on sometime because I have a question. How much time do you have?
Well, I probably should play commercials. Hang on. Don't go away. Stay okay. Right where you are, and we'll take care of this and then be back to Dennis and you, too, on WGN Radio.
Broadway, Foo, Cincinnati. Don't get icky with the 1, 2, 3. Life is just so fine on the solid side of the line. Bip, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. For the Yakisaki wants some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're very nice. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. For the Yakisaki wants some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're very nice. I like oysters, lobsters too. I like my tasty butterfish foo. When I come home late at night, I get my favorite dish, fish. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. For the Yakisaki wants some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're very nice. Want some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're always very nice.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's the Andrews Sisters with Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra, Hold Tight. Interestingly, that was so big during the war effort because, of course, you know, shrimp and rice are very nice and all that. You know, don't eat meat, all those things. Except that record came out in 1938 on Decca. And it was Jack and St. Charles who wanted to hear it. And I had said, oh, we played that last week. And Carol said, no, you didn't. You played Rum and Coca-Cola, which wasn't written by Maury Amsterdam, no matter what it says on the label. All right, so anyway, Jack, there you go. There's Hold Tight. Now, we're talking to Dennis in Colorado. We'll do that for a few minutes before the news, and then we'll resume. All right, so, yes, I don't know where we were.
Okay, I was talking about Captain Sheehan, and I was going to ask him something that I was told years ago about the tremendous legacy of Pan Am. The man that inspired me into naval aviation was a gentleman that lived in my neighborhood who flew Bearcats during the Korean War, later became a helicopter pilot for the Coast Guard, and he would regale me with his tales. I'd have to pry him out of him, but I got him. And he inspired me to apply for the Navy flight program, and he's still with us today. I visited him a few weeks ago in California,
wow.
He's way up there. But pretty soon, Willard Scott's going to be wishing him happy birthday on the Today Show. But,
wow.
anyway, the inside story he told me about the demise of Pan Am, and it's a long one. We probably don't have time for it.
Well, we'll come back after the news, because I kind of know something about this, too. So go for it.
Oh, okay. We'll start it this way. Well, you know the story about how Pan Am never got domestic routes.
Yes, I do. And I know how desperately they wanted them. Yeah.
The government subsidized and encouraged competing airlines to fly along their routes up around the Pacific Rim and stuff and subsidize them and undercut Pan Am's prices.
Mm-hmm.
That was going on way, way back. Ween Air Alaska and stuff like that were basically government subsidized creations.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never got domestic routes. And, of course, that hurt them. And then they applied for a loan from the government to keep him through, which I thought, after hearing that, they well deserved. Which reminds me, I used to listen to Ira Blue sitting up there at the Hungry Eye.
Yeah.
Just with gut-wrenchingly putrid discussions about how terrible Pan Am is because they're taking government money, they're ripping you off. I couldn't stand that guy, but, man.
All right, we're gonna leave it right there, and we'll come back to Pan Am and Dennis in moments right here on WGN
okay.
Radio.
I see that it's the truth, what they say.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Howard Tate. I played the A-side, the hit yesterday, Look at Granny Run Run, and mentioned that Half a Man was even better. And so I think it is, too. And there it is, 1966 all of a sudden I'm blanking this. I've got it right in front of me. Let me pull out the 45. Verve. There you go. All right. Yes, indeed. And so I thought that was fine. I thought that would have made a great A-side, but not. Now we're talking to Dennis and the history of Pan Am, and it's an interesting one. So carry on.
Well, I started kind of late in the history, but I told you how the government, handed off all their routes to cheaper flying carriers and subsidized them and competed with them and lost money, but it hurt Pan Am. But going way back in the 1930s, Juan Trippe, the visionary that he was, contemplated transoceanic routes. So he went to Sikorsky and Boeing, of course, and commissioned these long-range airplanes that could do it. And then he sent delegations to these island nations and to the tribal leaders of the island nations and heads of state at places like Hong Kong and the Philippines to negotiate the construction of aviation facilities, hotels, restaurants, seaplane bases, and so forth. And he did a very good job of that because the cooperation was great. And so they went on, and it was the pride of the American flag to have those carriers taking people clear across oceans, which was unheard of at the time. And then along comes World War II, and everything changes. And the government, of course, requisitions the airplanes, and then they start sending delegations to these same, many of these same islands and places saying, we want to build airport facilities here for our, bombers and fighters. And most of those nations said, well, yeah, okay, but we want to deal with Juan Trippe. We're not comfortable talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no quicker way to get a bureaucrat's bloomers in a twist than to tell them, oh, no, we don't want to talk to you. Let's talk to that private guy over here. And I am told from people much older than me that that was the source of it. They just got a bad taste in their mouth for Pan Am and didn't like it and weren't going to cooperate with it after that. And that history goes way back to World War II, before World War II. Is that similar to something you've heard?
There's so much, and there's so much more, too, and it's so convoluted because, of course, initially, even in the World War II times, you had FDR who was saying, oh, you need to build all these hotels, that was the intercontinental hotels in Latin America, Central America, all that, and of course, it was not only Pan Am, it was also, as you know, he had Grace Lines, the Pan American Grace Company, Panagro, and he promised that he would never have flying the same routes, both Pan Am and Panagra. But so for a while, of course, and in the beginning, as you know, with all these commercial carriers, they were subsidized because they were carrying mail. And so there was
that. Bread and butter for a while.
Of course it was. So by the 60s, early 60s, here is Juan, and he's crippled by the things you're talking about and more. And so he really needed help because one of the things that was happening is all the other carriers were trying to become a base for international, like, hey, well, we'll be in St. Louis and we'll fly to London or whatever, you know. So this is crowding him badly. Well, he did a deal where he was going to merge with TWA. And this was in 62, and the government just basically shut him down. And then the government sued him under Sherman Antitrust. It was an absolute mess. And so what happened was before he was favored man, and then he was like the man from hell. And that's the interesting part, and it would not surprise me at all that part of the problem was what happened in the far west. But it was a horrible story, and then of course, as you well know, the merger with National was just an absolute disaster, and that was it. But originally, when Trippe was talking about designing planes, he was thinking that like the 747 would be a cargo hauler. And, of course, the 707, as you well know, is just a fuel hog, so it's expensive to run. And there were so many other things as well. So, it's a real sad story. I think he got, probably he was good at what he did, and it cost him.
Yep. Oh, well, we can talk about Howard Hughes that way too.
Oh, well, true.
You know, but yeah, the extra sad part of it, the Pan Am culture as a flight attendant, a pilot, was an absolute stellar, proud culture.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just none better at the time. If you read the history and talk to the people, and you know, it was just a tearjerker that such a proud carrier like that, American flag carrier, was, you know, sent to the ground.
Right. Agreed.
On politics.
Right, agreed. And it was, you know, not only for the crews, which was true, and all employees, but for the passengers as well. It was a truly great experience. And you know, the Grace Lines taking those ships was kind of nice, too. And, of course, Panagra. I was telling John about how you'd fly into La Paz, and there would be a llama sitting there with a Panagra blanket around it welcoming you to the airport. And so it was just top-notch.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'll turn it over to your other wonderful callers. You've just got such a nice group of family here at WGN in the night, and I hope they're enjoying it, and I hope they continue to enjoy it, and I hope they continue to call.
And I hope you will call again soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, we've got Cindy, we've got James, we've got Jim in Richmond. Oh, we did a stress test today. I want to hear all about that. But right now I want to mention the CC Radio Solar, now with the inclusion of Bluetooth. And, you know, the thing about every radio Bob Crane has been involved in is they just have the best reception, period, of anything that's available today. You know, back in the day of the Zenith Transoceanics and stuff, you could get radios with good reception. It's harder and harder, and Bob Crane over the years has really outdone himself. That's the one thing all his radios have in common, just terrific AM and FM reception, but so many other features too. And I really like the CC Solar because it is, well, it's the ultimate in emergency radios, because it doesn't matter if you have batteries, it doesn't matter if you use the solar panel, it doesn't matter if your optional AC is not working, because this radio will work no matter what. It's got a little hand crank on the back. You hand crank it for about 30 seconds. It plays for a good 30 minutes, and you can actually charge a cell phone battery, enough maybe to make a call. You're not going to use it continually. So it's just... it's just true peace of mind when it comes to an emergency, because, you know, inevitably you're going to lose the power, and maybe you have kept the radio and the solar panel is really big and really nice and it'll stay for days. You know, you set it in a sunny window, you'll listen to that thing for days. And like I say, it can store enough energy to bring your dead cell phone battery back to life to make that important contact when you need it. With the addition of Bluetooth, it's really great too, because it sounds good. It's about the size of a brick. It's got a clean design. It's got five one-touch memory sets, so you can, you know, preset your favorites, and you know, it's really neat. And so it's also, of course, got the weather band and a weather alert from NOAA. So, and a built-in LED flashlight, which is the other thing. I don't think I mentioned that last night, that, you know, when the lights are out, you look for two things. You look for the flashlight, you look for the radio. Invariably, the batteries are dead in both of them. Well, not now. Hand crank it for 30 seconds. You got light, you got radio. It's just that simple. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. And take a look at the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. I think you'll like it. Now, if you can't go online, you can call by phone, because they have the world's best customer service. They'll send you out a hard copy of the catalog if you want it, but you can order on the phone as well. And that's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, it's great information as well as great products. Check it out. That's the Sea Crane Company, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Oh, hell, the little things you say and do make me want to be with you too. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know it's got me reeling when you say I love you. Rave on. The way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know it's got me reeling when you say I love you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Buddy Holly. No crickets on the label because that was on Coral, 1958 on Coral Ravon, and Cindy requested that. And Norman Petty was smart. He put the crickets on Brunswick and put Buddy Holly on Coral. And, of course, they're the same on both of them. But there you have it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. All right, Jim in Richmond and that stress test. Tell me how it went.
First off, please tell me how you're doing tonight. Is it better than the last two nights?
It's worse than yesterday, but better than Monday.
Okay.
So I'll take it.
And I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay.
And number two, I forgot to mention when I called last night, I wanted to thank Donna about asking about Rock and his helmet.
Yeah.
And I have update on that.
Oh, good.
From yesterday.
Okay.
From yesterday. And here's how it went. I was walking like an 80-year-old man, you know, like I've been. And we went in to the hospital, which was Mercy in Janesville. They were the nicest nurses in the whole world. They were, all the people that took care of me today in the X-ray room and in the stress test room. Everyone was women, and they were the nicest people.
Great.
And I was so happy about that. So we took. They gave me the injection, and then you had to wait an hour.
Right.
So, and then while we were in the waiting room, you're going to get a kick out of this. My brother, who has to ask everybody everything, is sitting right next to me, and across from us is looked like a young gentleman, but he was my age, and next to it was his mother, and she looked 80 and talked and sounded 80. So my brother goes, "And how old are you?" She goes, 100.
Whoa.
100. And then he goes, "No, you don't look a day over 80. And she's laughing and totally in her faculties. And then they wheeled her off to X-ray, and he asks the son, what's wrong with her? He goes, "She was dancing last night, and she hurt her back."
Oh, gee. That's great.
100 years old. Oh, I love that. And then we went in, And then they took X-rays with that machine that almost comes down on your chest.
Yeah.
And then I went into the stress room, and then I was stressed out. I didn't go to sleep last night till like 3:30, and I got up at 7. So I'm in there, and they go, I want to use the treadmill because I walk, and then after I walk for a while, then I get the pain. Oh, we'd rather do the injection. And I go, no. So you have to go 6 minutes and 126 heartbeats or whatever.
Okay.
And I've done the treadmill many before.
Right.
So I get on the treadmill, and here's a man who was walking like an old man on there trying to keep up with the treadmill.
Right.
And then they said, okay, we have to raise it way up.
Uh-huh.
And they want you to stand right in front of that bar.
Right.
And I'm like 5 feet away from it, you know, and they kept going. And then they noticed that my legs were just like wobbly. And they said, and I said, "Boy," and I'm breathing really, really heavy. And I said, "Boy, is my chest burning." And they said, "That's it. You stop." And then they stopped it, and they made me lay down on the table. And then they gave me the injection of the medicine.
Uh-huh.
They did the cardiolite while I was on there. That was the second shot.
Right.
And then I did that. And then they went through that process. And they said, okay, now you go in the waiting room for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm in the waiting room. And all of a sudden, I'm looking across at a gentleman that my brother was talking to. And everything got clear in my eyes.
Whoa.
And it was only for 15 minutes.
I don't care.
And then the fogginess came back.
Yeah.
So when they came to get me, and I go, "Tell me, what you told me that the cardiolite and it's all this stuff goes through your whole body." I said, "Does it go through your eyes?" And I go, "Well, is that part of your whole body?" And she was laughing, you know. And I said, "No, because my eyesight got really clear." And she said, "Well, it could happen." So then we went to x-ray for more x-rays, and then I was finally done after 3.5 hours or so. And then the trip home, I was just all wobbly and everything, but my stride was bigger
good
than it's been. And we got home. I got home. I'm sitting on my recliner, and I'm panting.
Okay.
And I still have the chest pains, and then they finally went away after an hour. But good. I thought that they were going to find blockages and everything, and they turned to me and they said, "Oh, you'll get a call on Friday or Monday."
Okay.
So I figured, if they found a blockage or anything, they weren't going to wait till Friday or Monday.
Agreed.
So I was in a wonderful mood.
Yeah.
Because of all the stress. And about rock.
Yes.
I was yesterday all stressed out all night long, I told you. And then Sarah sends me a request. We're looking at getting a food processor. It's $100, and I said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And I told her what was going on, and then all of a sudden she sends me pictures. He's wearing a new helmet,
okay,
and it's just like a 2-inch strip down the middle, and a band that goes all the way around, and you know, like a football helmet that you cut the centers out on top.
Uh-huh.
And that was great. And then they sent pictures, and I'm, waiting. And I barely could see him, but boy, is he big!
That's great.
You know, he'll be 6 months on September 2nd. So I was glad about that. And then as soon as I got home, my friend Char, I said, write a check, because I can't write checks.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her name on the checks.
Right.
So she wrote out the check, put it in the mailbox, and I sent him a text message, checks in the mail.
Oh, that's great.
And they said, "Oh boy, he's going to be so happy." You know, like he really knows.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But that was great.
Good.
And Char went and did all my shopping because she did not want me to do anything. So she brought the groceries over. That was great. So I told her about Jupiter aligned with Mars.
Uh-huh.
And right away she says, "Yeah, Age of Aquarius." So I was wondering if you could do me a favor, and for her, could you play Age of Aquarius?
I will do that. I would normally not do that because I can't stand that record, but for you, yeah. I will do that. You will hear it, yeah, right after the news, which is coming up next.
Right. And I am so happy right now, you wouldn't believe.
That it's wonderful. And the best news, actually, is that your eyes cleared up for 15 minutes, because that tells you they can clear up. So let's hope for more of that. Yeah.
I go next Wednesday, and I'm going to tell them that.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear about that. Thanks. Appreciate it, Jim.
Okay. Thank you for everything.
You betcha. All right. So, yes, Age of Aquarius coming up next. All right. Got to boot Manfred Mann to do that, but I will. Yeah, that was James's request, but we got other requests for James as well. We got Nick from Baltimore. We're going to talk about WCBS next hour, and Laura and Cindy and James, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio.
Crystal revelation.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Anything for Jim. Yes. Aquarius / Let the Sunshine In medley. Now, I was looking, because I wanted to make sure the year, it turned out I was right, it was 69, it was on Soul City. But when I was looking at the year, I was looking at the label. And when I looked at the label, I'd never noticed this before, but of course I can't claim I ever voluntarily played it. But it says medley, Aquarius / Let the Sunshine In, and then in parentheses, The Flesh Failures. All right, get down with your bad self. Bones Howe was the engineer and producer on that, as with most of their stuff. And yeah, they had a number of 45s before it, but never had a number one. And not only was that number one, but it was number one for 6 weeks on the pop charts. Yeah, so somebody liked it, and Jim did too. Yes, and so, yes, Jupiter is aligned with Mars, but it is square Saturn, and then there's a T-square coming up. So, all right, enough about that. Now, what are we talking about? I believe radio with Nick in Baltimore. How's it going, Nick?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I can't complain.
Yeah, I remember when that record, that was, I actually remember when it was brand new.
Well, of course, I do too. I had to play it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, God.
Oh, well, you played it. I listened to it. So.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't. Not other than the first note, and it wasn't long enough to do much with it. But it was almost 5 minutes, though, actually. But they had the edited for airplay version, which was considerably shorter.
Well, you know, like most jocks, you know, I knew the first 13 seconds of every record, and you turn the volume down and, you know,
yeah.
Half the time you wouldn't listen to what you're playing. I mean, he did, but you know what I mean.
No, absolutely, that's true. But like I say, I've seen this record forever and never noticed that it says The Flesh Failures in parentheses. I can't imagine.
I didn't notice. I can't remember, because I remember playing it as an oldie on the radio. But, the whole thing is, it's not that we didn't like the music. You know, you're doing so many things when you're in the studio,
No, actually, I didn't like the music. But
well,
in 1969, by then, I was listening to country mostly. I'd given up on soul and on pop.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I was one of those people that stuck with it. But
yeah.
Now I think I like country more, but it's not really country.
Well, it's not. No, like I keep saying, it's male adult contemporary is really what it is.
But, yeah, that's what it is, really.
Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is. Because what self-respecting guy is going to listen to Delilah? You know, so instead they get country.
No. Yeah. Well, and plus it's still a little bit of Americana.
Oh, no, and some of it's great, but I will say I do not pick the music for our FM that is a country blend, and God knows it's a good thing I don't pick the music. But in talking, deadly, but in talking with the guy who really knows his stuff, because he's number one in the county, he must be doing something right. I don't question him. But the thing is that he complains all the time. He says it's hard to play currents because so many of them are funeral dirges, just horrible ballads that just are downers. And he said you'd be surprised at the number of these as far as current records. So he goes deeper into other things, including some classic rock.
Well, see, that's why it's hard, you know, I didn't mean to diverge into this, but that's why it's so hard to, I guess, program these so-called top 40 stations now, because not really, you know, what they call CHR, but it's harder and harder to program because it's
it's always the way. Think about it. Because when we talked about Top 40 being dead, and of course the name went out the window in the latter 70s, the music kind of reflected it. But here comes like 82, 83, CHR is born, and what is it, the Technopop records and the Eurythmics and the Thomas Dolbys and, you know, the Huey, whatever his name, Lewis. I mean, it was just made for Top 40, and you had the dance shows again, you know, Dancing on Air and all that kind of stuff. And the music, the music led, but in a way that has always been the case.
Right, yeah, but I think there was more of a variety back in the old days, you played a little bit of everything, but now it's so...
Right. If you're going back far enough, yes, the top 40 used to be just that. As Todd Storr's famous quote is, you know, I'll play gong music if that's what's popular. And, you know, it was just the, you know, they say 40, but it was never 40 records, but let's say the 20 most popular records, regardless of genre. But you could do that because there weren't many stations. There really wasn't any FM to talk about at that point. It was AM only. It wasn't like there weren't TV opportunities. You know, you had the big three networks in living black and white. And, the bottom line was that, you know, you could do that. You could be all things to all people. And as time went on, you started to have to create a niche. And a friend of mine who owned a small group of radio stations came to visit once, and he said, I'm so jealous of what you can do on your radio stations because you can go back to playing it all because, you know, you're in a micro market. And he said, if I do this in a major market, I'll be killed. And I said, you're absolutely right. But when there's not much choice, you can get away with it.
Right. The other thing, too, Raleigh, is that I remember you saying a long time ago, and it's true, because I remember Bill Quinn telling me this, too, that a lot of stations didn't want to touch Top 40.
Oh, they couldn't. It's not that they didn't want to touch it. And, you know, it was a business decision because you could not get the advertisers. So, you know, initially, that's why when in 1958 at the first disc jockey convention, when Mitch Miller stood up and said, rock and roll is dead, you had all these people like the guy from K. Smith Broadcasting in Seattle goes back, changes KJR, drops Top 40. You know, well, of course he does because, you know, he wants to get Frederick and Nelson and he wants to get Nordstrom's and everybody else who would not touch a rock and roll station.
Right.
You know, when you think about it, the whole, it's ironic because, of course, the second annual disc jockey convention spawned the Paola hearings, and we know all about that. But the original purpose of those conventions was to uplift the image of the disc jockey because the top 40 disc jockey, the rock and roll disc jockey, couldn't open a bank account, couldn't rent an apartment. I mean, you'd think that they were, you know, child molesters the way they were treated. So even though a station could run up and be number one overnight, especially with, you know, Trendex and Hooper and then Pulse, you could do that, but you couldn't sell it.
No.
And, you know, the same was true when you think about, quote-unquote, underground radio. You know, it went from underground to progressive. But even with progressive, what do you have? The waterbed emporium? You know, you're not getting too much in the way of mainstream advertisers at first.
No, you weren't. And I remember, I have some air checks downstairs of some of these stations, and it's true, you had these off-the-wall sponsors.
Yeah, the head shop. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the head shop, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And venues that you're not going to dance, but they're going to play music, you know?
Right. And I remember the station here, the FM station, LPO, was, they couldn't get any commercials, so they took a negative and made it a positive. And this hour we have 59 minutes of
nonstop,
rock and roll.
Yeah, nonstop music. Well, it's just like my buddy who, when he was programming Sonderling, like at WOL, you know, a great soul rocker of the East Coast, he couldn't get national sponsors to save his life, so he just threw in Coca-Cola commercials for free, you know, and Delta and all that. So, and everybody said, God, his station sounds so much better. But actually, the advertising agency for Delta complained. And I remember at the time I was outraged, and I said, well, I guess they don't even want them flying on the back of the planes, you know, because it was just a horrible thing. But I also understand that they wanted to control their message for their reasons. But in any event, that's what he did. He, you know, he'd listen to what, you know, was all Afro Sheen all the time. And he said, well, let's just run some nationals.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
Yeah, right? It was.
Use it as a promotion.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to throw in the thing about WCBS. There was a third article I saw in Inside Radio. It's WCBS going away in New York. WCBS AM, that is.
Yes, 57 years.
Yeah, for all news.
Yes.
Now, I mean, we know why, because it's all dollars and cents, you know, kind of.
Well, we were talking about this actually last night, and it has to, you know, there's a lot of reasons, but keep in mind when Entercom bought CBS, now, of course, they're Audacy, or as I like to say, Audacity, but the reality is that when they did that, we're talking about $2.4 billion, and these AM heritage stations, which were at their peak, you know, they were priced so high, you can never retire that debt service. You just can't do it. And so it really comes down to when you have an offer, somebody's going to LMA your entire frequency and give you a lot of bucks. You know, you'd be doing your stockholders a real fiduciary breach if you didn't take advantage of that. So, no. But as I also mentioned last night, all these people who are saying 57 years because WCBS debuted on 880 on August 28th or whatever. Well, you remember? No, it didn't. It didn't.
It was on FM.
Yeah, right, because the helicopter hit the tower. So it was on FM for a few days. But yeah, so you know, it's sad to note this, but economically, we knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far
exactly.
as.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know.
And it was bound to happen. And I just couldn't see the two of them coexisting for much longer.
Well, and that's sad because, of course, they always could coexist because, you know, INS was more like the ambulance chaser, the local news. They were the KFWB of the market, where CBS was. So I always used to say, you know, if the Bronx are bombed, listen to WINS. If the Mideast is bombed, listen to WCBS, you know, because that was, and the same thing in L.A. with KFWB and KNX, same kind of deal. And so they did effectively split the landscape very well. But, of course, when both of them started out, there were, you know, where else were we going to listen? To the news, there weren't options. There wasn't really cable stations, let alone internet. So it becomes difficult to say the least. So
it's still expensive.
Oh, of course to do it right. But you know, I won't mention markets and all that. But I have heard them do it wrong by automating nights and overnights.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
And you know, because you can tell.
Oh, of course.
I can, and you can.
Yeah, and I also I often wonder: is there anybody there at all in case all hell breaks out? I don't know.
Well, BZ does it. BZ is automated all night with all news.
Well, and so what if something happens in the, you know, in the middle of town at 3 a.m? Is anybody there running it? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, so that's
now their traffic is live. But
and of course, from a distant place, it's not sitting there.
Right, and they do the same thing down here.
Yeah.
No, I've heard BZ. They're all pre-recorded stuff from during the day. Yeah. Well, WTOP does it.
Well, absolutely.
In Washington.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, it's one thing to do it to a degree, and I understand that. But if you're doing it entirely and you don't have anybody in that newsroom actually monitoring what's going on, you're betraying your entire positioning that your news 24 hours a day.
Well. WTOP has somebody live, you know,
and
has
that,
it all.
Right, and that saves them in the event that, you know, all hell breaks loose. But if nobody is there, and on some of these markets, not to mention names, nobody is.
I've heard some markets where they're, but you're right. But that's, you know, that's the thing, too. A friend of mine in Oklahoma City, and he said, you know, recently they had weather events. They had tornadoes and stuff a few weeks back. And he said, I turned the radio on, and there was nothing
right
there.
That's right.
The TV had it, but the radio didn't. And then what they do is they plug into the TV.
Well,
audio.
If they'll do that, at least that's halfway there. And in some cases, the television audio might be better than anything they would originate. And I don't have a problem with that. The issue is that if it's a tornado at 2 p.m. on Saturday, the likelihood that any radio station is going to react to that is almost nil. And this has been going on. Like I say, the first time it happened to me, I've mentioned this example many times. I was in Spearfish, South Dakota in 1991, hit a tornado middle of the night. And here I am, I'm by the side of the road, and I'm scanning the dial. Nothing. Firstly, nothing was live. The only live thing I could find was, at the time, Coma in Oklahoma, God love them, was live. But, of course, they weren't talking about my Spearfish tornado. And, you know, that's 91. So at this point, though, I can't tell you how many times that I've encountered traffic or I've encountered inclement weather. You turn on the radio, you are just not hearing it. And what worries me is that makes the argument for in-dash very difficult. And, you know, right now the argument is, do cars have to keep AM? But the day's going to come when do cars have to keep radio? And frankly, if you have to go to your internet, you know, AZ511 or whatever it is in your state to hear the traffic tie up, that's a problem.
Yeah, it sure is. Give me a quick example before I go, and I know you're getting up to the break soon here. When the Key Bridge fell down,
yes,
knocked down.
Yes.
I will say this, BAL
rose to the occasion. Yes, they did.
BAL radio.
Right. No, I understand.
Because they have people in there beginning around 3:30.
Right.
And it's also from the TV station, too.
Right.
They still have that synergy from the TV station. But, I mean, they went live.
As well they should.
By 5, everybody was, you know, on it. But
no,
I'm saying, you know.
You know, it's a GN, same deal. A couple of weeks ago, I was preempted for a few hours, and it was the greatest few hours of my career in the past few years because WGN was doing exactly what it should be doing, which was wall-to-wall tornado coverage. Like I always say, they don't license you to play Creedence Clearwater Revival records because I can't tell you how many stations with their EAS equipment will time it that it will start after the record is over if it's an emergency. I'm thinking, if it's an emergency, I want it to interrupt the darn record.
Right. I didn't know they did that. I didn't know you,
of course,
I didn't
most
know you
of
could
them,
do that.
Oh, yeah, it's very easy. Most of them do it. And it's funny that so many of them do, but I don't. And then there's a number of them that don't even run them.
Wow.
You know, and because it's up to you what you decide you're going to run. And a number of stations aren't running weather events. You know, now I can understand when you're not entering, like, say, silver events when a senior citizen is missing. And the reason I say that is usually with EAS, it's statewide. And so if you're sitting at one end of the state and the you know, event is at the other end of the state, that's not of interest to your audience. But you can fine-tune the weather events to your county or your portion of the county, and there's no reason not to. And I can understand also if you're not running watches. But if you're not running warnings, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's something, you know, that I'm concerned about, too. I can remember back in, well, we're going back to the 70s now, 73, we had tornado warnings here, and, you know, because you get the lightning static and everything.
Yeah.
AM band. But these stations had news people.
Exactly.
In the, you know, when I'm talking the top 40 stations, CBN had it, everybody.
I know.
You know, I'm talking down in Baltimore, but everywhere.
Yep.
You had a news department. Now you don't have that. And he was telling me out in Oklahoma City, there's no news at KTOK.
Yeah.
They carry the network news and that's it.
Well, that's normal now. And, of course, there was a time when the stations all had to carry it due to FCC requirements and all that. There is no requirement now. And a lot of stations don't feel the need. And I can understand if you don't want to talk about what's happening in China. But, man, if it's happening on your interstate, I'd prefer that you mention it.
Exactly.
Always good to talk
Absolutely.
To you, Nick. Call me again
hey,
soon.
Thanks, a lot.
Thanks, appreciate it.
All right.
All right,
bye-bye.
And that's where we'll pick it up in a half hour. Not half hour. We'll have a half hour news. Then we'll be back to Laura and Cindy and James and you too on WGN Radio.
You can take the moon, gather up the stars and the robins that sing merrily. Put them in a box, tie them with a ribbon, throw them in the deep blue sea. You can take the flowers down in Lover's Lane and that sentimental poetry. Put them in a box, tie them with a ribbon, throw them in the deep blue sea. Not for me, all that stuff, the dreams that ruin your sleep. Not for me, and in love is one thing you can keep. You can take the plans and the wedding bells and whoever sings, oh, promise me. Put them in a box, tie them with a ribbon, throw them in the deep blue sea. 'Cause love and I, we don't agree.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was actually Diane in Chicago's request. It was the flip of its magic. Yes, it's Doris Day. Put him in a box, tie him with a ribbon, throw him in the deep blue sea. And you, as I was listening to that, you know, put him in a box, I couldn't help but think of one that's much less known, Harold Weekly. Who did a song to Russia with Care. Probably nobody's heard it but me, but I always loved it.
Get in the box and shut your mouth, I'm shipping you far away. There's a book inside on Kodiak dances and a comet flag to wave. You say we when you mean me, so reckon Red'll let you stay. Inside of a year you'll be premier, 'cause you're seeing things their way. To Russia with care, the address reads, they're needing propaganda like you. A talking machine, a spouting pretty dreams that never, never do come true. I'm shipping you by air to Russia with care, you don't fit the USA. Gal, I've had it, now Moscow gets it, go turn all the red hair gray.
Indeed, if we're talking about box songs, I would prefer that over Doris. But, oh, so Steve Bryant in Las Vegas is going to fill me in. If anybody would know, Steve would know about the Flesh Failures. All right, Steve.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you and John doing?
Oh, I don't know. How about yourself?
Well, not bad. Well, a really awful sciatica where they're going to have to go in and kill the nerves.
No, tell me no. Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, yeah. What beats back surgery. Even the surgeon said, you don't want back surgery.
No, you do not want back surgery, no matter what. You do not. So, yeah, if those are the only two options, yes, by all means, I concur. But, geez, Louise, so when are you going to do this?
I have the appointment on the 30th. I guess they'll scope it out after the 30th. They did the MRI and everything, and it's just as much of a mess as I thought it was.
Oh, geez. What caused it? I mean, other than that we're getting older and closer to the grave, but what else caused it?
When I was 13 years old, now I'm 73 now, so this is 60 years ago, everybody in my family on the farm was afraid of heights.
Uh-oh.
And I was too stupid to claim I was afraid of heights.
Uh-huh.
So I was fixing the roof on the barn when I was 13, three stories up.
Mm-hmm.
And lost my footing, went straight down, and landed on both feet.
Oh, no.
Really stupid. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
L4 and L5 went squirrely.
Oh, no.
And it's been chronic ever since. And, of course, it you know, here comes osteoarthritis, and it said, ooh, here's a good place for me to settle in.
Oh, God.
And, yeah. So, yeah, hey, it's I'm fine.
Right, I know. Compared to some people, of course, but still, I hate to hear you have to go through this.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Real quick, on the Doris Day song.
Oh, yeah.
There's a song, I know. There's a song that actually, I think Leon Redbone had the ultimate version of it. The song is called Get Out, Get Under the Moon. And I swear to you, that Doris Day song was inspired by Get Out, Get Under the Moon.
Oh, I'm going to look for that. I'm going to look for that. And see, because Doris was in 48, so, and I know Leon Redbone loved those early things, so we'll have to...
This was in the 20s,
yeah.
30s.
Get Out, Get Under the Moon. Well, I love it already. That's great.
It's a great song.
Thanks for the tip. Now, of course, I know about Aquarius is that it's from that damn musical Hair, but beyond that, I know nothing.
In the musical Hair, it's definitely an anti-war sentiment expressed in the musical. And there's a scene with soldiers, which actually made it to that god-awful movie they made with Treat Williams, which was just frighteningly bad. But in the show itself, which for its time was okay, they decided to call that song, the medley of Aquarius and Let the Sunshine In, they called that song in the playbill, it said The Flesh Failures, and then in parentheses, it said Aquarius Let the Sunshine In. So that was the main title.
With no other context, was there anything on stage that would indicate why that was the appropriate title?
Well, because there were soldiers going to war, I guess they were expressing their anti-war sentiment at that point in time, saying, well, these are flesh failures. That's the only thing. And again, that's a best guess for me. I had no idea. You know, I saw the Broadway show. I'm that old. I saw that and kind of wondered about it, but didn't. And I didn't think the song was particularly spectacular. The Fifth Dimension and their producer,
Bones Howe.
I mean, they. Yeah. I don't like it, but they did the best possible version of that they could possibly do.
No, and Bones was pretty good. Now, the story he used to tell about it was that there was an incident with Billy Davis, the lead singer of the Fifth Dimension, who left his wallet in a New York City cab, and the man who found the wallet was involved in the production of Hair and invited the group to see the show. And after he'd seen it, he called Bones and said, we got to cut this song, Aquarius. It's the best thing ever. And so Howe had said, it isn't a complete song. It's an introduction. But after seeing it on stage, he got the idea to create the medley. And a few bars from the song, The Flesh Failures, I guess that's where the repeated Let the Sunshine In, Let the Sunshine In. So interesting.
Yeah. It just was, you know, back in the late 60s, everybody was trying way too hard to be hip.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised Bones pulled it off. I think in his own words, he said, I jammed them together like two trains.
it worked. Number one for 6 weeks, you can't beat that.
Absolutely. Well, now, yeah. I want you to hang on a minute because Barb says she had... Well, actually, I can probably bring Barb on right now. Barb says she has some information for you on sciatica. So now, let's see what we can see what we can find out with Barb. And so, Barb, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, so is Steve.
Hi,
so
Barb.
Tell all.
Okay. I have sciatica, and I suffered with it 3 or 4 years ago. One time I had to go to the emergency room. I was in such pain. And I found these sciatica pillows to sit on in a catalog, and they have helped me tremendously.
There's
pillows that doctors have invented.
So where,
and it looks like a big pear shape.
So where did you find it?
What's,
do you have the website for it or anything, the sciatica pillows?
I have the one company called Borden Textile, LLC.
Okay. All right.
261 River Street.
Okay.
All right.
And it's Haverhill.
Haverhill, Pennsylvania? Haverhill, Pennsylvania?
No, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. No, Massachusetts. Oh, okay. Massachusetts. Okay. All right.
Haverhill, Massachusetts.
All right.
01. Oh, wait a minute. I got to get my magnifying glass. I can't see whether. Oh, it's a pain in the neck to have eye problems. I'm telling you. It's
You're
a
not
pain
alone.
In the neck.
Yeah, boy.
I know. I feel bad every time you talk to somebody else with eye problems.
Yeah.
Zip code is. Oh, hell.
Well, don't worry about it.
I've got to flip. Let me put my phone down a second.
Don't worry about it, Barb, because
we
can find it.
Exactly. I can go online and find it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
No one's got my phone.
Don't worry about it, because it's easy to find. I found them. It's 01832. 01832.
Excellent.
01.
Barbara's going to tell us this. 832. Yes. All right. And they have a website, BordenTextile.com.
Yeah.
No S in textiles.
I will go there and check it out. Barb, thank you very much.
That's great, Barb. Thank
you're you. You're welcome. There's also a catalog that
Yep.
The one I'm sitting on right now is in my kitchen.
Well, they have.
And the other one I keep on my love seat in the living room.
No, that's great.
I have two of them.
The whole catalog is online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the whole catalog is online.
There's another company that made the other one.
Oh, who made the other one?
Two different companies.
Oh.
But they don't have any advertisement on the label, so I can't give you that one.
Okay.
But this one is the big cushion.
Okay.
So if you have a big bottom, it'll fit you good. All you do is sit on it.
Like it was made for me.
Yeah, right.
Well, they have different sizes, too.
Yes, I see them now.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks, appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. I really am thankful that I found them once I suffered sciatica, you know?
Oh, good. Well, I appreciate
that. They're really wonderful. Terrific.
All right. Barb, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you're
that's
welcome.
Nice. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. So I just
that
looked them
so
up.
Nice.
Yeah, it is. And there are two sciatica nerve pain, just like she said, just like Barb said. Mm-hmm. They have the jumbo as well as the regular, mm-hmm. and you can and the free shipping too. You can look at this. Boy, that'd be better if you could just use something like this. But
it would be phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenal. I was undergoing. I did physical therapy, and they told me to stop doing physical therapy. So
yes,
I was probably doing more damage. So,
yes. No. Unfortunately, that's sad but true.
Yeah,
it can be that
it is.
Way. Yeah,
I can. Do you have a moment? I heard you mention Mitch Miller, and I have something that might make you chuckle.
Oh, good. Hang on 1 minute, and we will be right back to Mitch. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We're talking to
Excellent.
Steve Bryant,
thank you.
And then we've got Laura, we've got Cindy, we've got Brian and James, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We only have a few minutes this hour, and I want to spend the rest of them with Steve Bryant. So Steve, he's got a story about Mitch Miller. I'm ready.
Okay, thank you, Raleigh. Well, you know, in the 15 years I spent on QVC, I would say virtually every celebrity in the world came through those doors hoping to represent a product.
Right.
And here comes Mitch Miller.
Oh, no. Oh, good. I love it already.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, here's a man. Now, somebody who studies music history, I hate him.
Yes.
I mean, God rest his soul. I hate him. I hope he's in hell. But anyway, other than that, I didn't like him at all when he came in. Mm-hmm. But since I did all the music shows, I got to sit in the conference room with Mitch Miller and his video set of the best of Sing Along with Mitch.
Well, that's about 2 minutes.
and including the bonus Christmas. And they were VHS tapes, so the bonus Christmas VHS tape came along with it. You know, Mitch Miller celebrates Christmas, and so we're going through this, and he was doing his best pitch. Said, you know, I know your demographic skews a little older, and I said, well, we're actually trying to bring that down a little bit right now. I said, a lot of our target demographic at the moment wouldn't know who you are.
Right.
He didn't leave happy.
Yeah.
He didn't leave happy. I said, well, Steve is our musical expert. And I thought, oh, that's got to grind his gears.
Yeah.
Just great. Yeah. So we never did Mitch Miller. And
thank
he went
God.
Away. And, well, when he left, they said, Steve, what do you think? I said, no, I won't. It won't sell worth a damn. And we're done. And we had everybody come through. Real quick, do you remember Al Alberts?
Oh, of course.
Yes, Al Alberts.
Four Aces. But
he also had a talent show for like 25 years
right.
on Channel 6 in Philadelphia.
Right, yes,
with,
yes, WFIL TV. Yes, absolutely.
And he's such a nice man, and I felt terrible.
Yes.
He brought in the Uncle Al, because all the kids had to call him Uncle Al.
Oh, God.
That, to me, I thought was a little...
Yeah.
But okay. Uncle Al, I got a joke for you. There's a hooker. And it would get... But anyway, so Uncle Al came in, and he had Uncle Al's little star maker kit.
Oh,
it was a video cassette, a book telling you how to dress in chiffon, because I always do it. Makes
right,
me feel
right. See, it makes you feel all fuzzy all over. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. So we had poor Al Alberts come in, and he made a pitch, and they decided not to do it, but I actually voted for it. I said, I think we got enough grandparents that might want their little kids to be, you know, JonBenet Ramsey or whatever. I don't know.
Now, you'll be pleased to know that John worked with Uncle Al.
Oh, so wow.
You guys can talk off the air. I'm sure you can trade lots of stories.
I'm sure. But he was very, like I said, he was just such a nice man with his little thing. And I didn't tell him I had done a really horrific parody of On the Way to Cape May. But So that was it. That was Mitch Miller and Uncle Al.
I love it.
Any other celebrity you want to name? They came through. So anyway, I thank you much for the time.
Oh, thank you. It's just wonderful. And, you know, the one thing about Mitch Miller is he was nothing if not totally sincere. The man absolutely believed that anybody who played rock and roll had to be paid for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's fun. I'm so glad you didn't have him on. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. So, yeah, because, you know, you have your limits, and I'm so glad that Steve did as well. And always great to hear from him. We've got another hour of this, and I hope I'll hear from you coming up on WGN Radio.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
I'm Raleigh James. I'm laughing out loud because, yes, this was James' request, but believe it or not, Mitch Miller produced it. In Nashville, it was at Bradley's Martin. It was Bradley Studios, 1957 on Columbia. Yes, and Marty Robbins wrote it, too, but come on. Well, of course, Mitch Miller, it's Columbia. I guess he can do what he wants to do, but Robbins recorded it in about 20 minutes. And wrote it in even less. In fact, he wrote it while he was going somewhere to a gig. He was the passenger, and he just wrote it driving from some motel in Ohio where he was going to perform that evening. And it was interesting because he passed a local high school, and the kids were dressed for the prom, and that's where it came: a white sport coat and a pink carnation. So that was the deal there. How Mitch Miller wheedled his way into that. Other than head of AR for Columbia, of course. I don't know. All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura is in Willowbrook. Thanks for waiting, Laura. How are you? Are you still there, Laura? Well, she tried to wait. Maybe she's asleep, and sleep is sacred. So I appreciate you trying, Laura, and I hope you will again tomorrow night. All right, so let's see. We've got Brian in Jefferson City. Welcome back to WGN Radio. No? Oh, wait a minute. I might have just hung up on Laura, too. I just realized what I did here. Brian, are you there?
Raleigh?
Yes.
Yes, I'm. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And apologies to Laura. She might have been on this line. I didn't realize what I did. So call me back, Laura. I'm sorry. All right. So, Brian, now I'm talking to you. What's up?
Yeah, not much. It's been a rainy day here in Missouri, in Jeff City, where I live.
Mm.
Hey, what was the name of that website they were talking about, the sciatic nerve?
Oh, the Borden Textile.
For the pillow,
Borden Textile, Borden, Textile, T-E-X-T-I-L-E, .com.
Okay.
And then...
Because I do...
They got a search.
I do with sciatica.
Okay, well, they got a search, so click on the little search icon and just write sciatica, and you will see two, count them, two pillows, and hopefully that'll do it.
Okay. Hey, a little bit earlier, you were playing a record by Harold Weekly.
Yes.
Now, is that the same one? When I first started listening to the Opry in the early to mid-'80s, there was a Harold Weekly who was part of the Grand Ole Opry staff.
Absolutely. That is 100% the same guy. He used to play drums and he chewed gum all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, yep,
oh,
that,
yeah.
That's absolutely that. Him. And he did some of the announcing, so along with Harold Hinson.
Harold Hinson, they used to do the Goo Goo Candy Bar portion together.
Right, Goo Goo Clusters, yes.
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, I remember that. And I wondered if that would. I don't even. A lot of those guys who were on the staff band back in the. I guess they've all long since retired. I don't know if they even be around anymore.
No, they're not. They're not with us, sadly.
Do you know, Harold, is he still living?
He died in 1990. He was 60 years old.
Oh, he was still pretty young.
Yes, he was. And he's buried at Woodlawn Memorial Park.
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah, because they've got a few staff band members that play now that have been there several years. But from when I used to listen to the early, mid-'80s, a lot of those guys had been there probably 20, 30 years or better were part of the staff band. So.
And sadly, Harold's been gone since 2017.
Yeah. Well, I know he used to, he worked on WSM.
Did the overnight
show.
Did
the Opry. Yeah. And then I think for a while, maybe about 15, 20 years ago, he did some stuff on Willie's Roadhouse on Sirius XM, maybe.
No, he did. Well, and before that, you know, he had also for a while been program director of WLAC. And he also worked as a top 40 jock at WKDA. But I'll never get it, because when he went to WLAC, this is where I found all about, you know, of course, at night. In the day, they were kind of an MOR station, but at night, they do all the R&B stuff, like Hoss Allen and all that. And, you know, when they'd sell those record packages, they'd always say, send your name and address, your name and address, right? So he had in his office some woman from Ocala, Florida, sent her name and address. It was a flowered A-line dress. And so I remember that. He kept it. It was the first thing he saw in his office. Oh, my God. So she sent her name and address.
Wow. That's great. When you lived in Nashville, when the Nashville Network used to be, I would see in different interviews, there was, I don't know if you might have known him, there was a fellow named Buddy Killen.
Oh, yeah, Buddy Killen, sure.
Who was the head of pre-publishing.
Well, yeah, absolutely. He was Tree, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I was not a fan. He's no longer with us, though. And he absolutely was Tree, and he was also a disc jockey as well before that. He played bass on the Grand Ole Opry for a while. He was one of the guys from Florence, you know, all the people in Florence, Muscle Shoals, all that. He was from Florence. And so Jack Stapp had been the manager of Grand Ole Opry, and he hired Buddy. William Doyce Killen was his real name, but in any event, William Doyce. He did very well. Believe me, he did very well. And he did some interesting things with R&B. So I can't fault him for that, but as far as a human being, no, he would not have been my favorite.
And there was another lady, she was, I think, ahead of BMI. Did you know of Frances Preston?
Well, I certainly knew her, but I knew her because she was so important and all that, but she wasn't, like, in my circle of friends. No, but she was very big and very accomplished, and she absolutely ran BMI, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I remember way back when, in the 80s, when the Nashville Network was, I remember seeing her in different interviews. Back then, and I just remember that over the years. So
yeah, she would have been born in the 20s, and you know she died more than a decade ago. But see, the Nashville Network was well after I was long gone. There was no Nashville Network.
Oh yeah,
And I always laughed at the Nashville Network. It's the only network I know where the T stood for the. TNN, the Nashville Network. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But
Hey, when you lived in Southern California, did you ever know the Paul Williams, the songwriter?
I didn't know him personally. But I had him on the air once, and you know, once or twice. But no, I wasn't like a personal friend or anything. But I like him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think he's still around. He's like in his about maybe 84. Probably,
yeah, because he was born in 1940. I remember that about him. He was from Omaha originally. He has a brother who works for NASA. Probably long gone by now, because this was like the 60s. He had another brother who wrote Drift Away for Dobie Gray.
Oh, okay.
I was more impressed with the NASA rocket scientist myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember he had guest spots. I think one time he had a guest spot on the Love Boat, and of course he was in Smokey and the Bandit too. Paul Williams.
Well, he started out doing country music, actually. He used to write and do things with Biff Rose in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
Biff Rose was kind of a singer-songwriter guy from New Orleans originally, but he did a lot of things that were, you know, basically country stuff. And he wrote something with Paul Williams that Tiny Tim covered. It was the B. It was the B side of "Tiptoe Through the Tulips." If you're ready for that. I think when Biff Rose was doing a concert somewhere, it might have been Kansas City or something. But the opening act was Bruce Springsteen.
That would have
been like the early 70s, and so. But David Bowie was a fan, so yeah. That's who Paul Williams started writing with. Wrote with a number of people as well, and he wrote some things for the Monkees. I don't know that they ever actually recorded, you know, put them out or whatever, but but he did. And then he wrote some things that were on Jim Henson's show, whatever that Muppet thing was.
I think he wrote some for the Carpenters, and then Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, a lot of
Evergreen.
People, and did film scores. So he very, very, very talented. But Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson song Evergreen. He did the lyrics to that. He's done a lot of stuff that have been in a lot of, and of course, you know, wrote for some stuff in Happy Days, and you know, so yeah, he's very accomplished to say the least.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I'll let you get your other callers in, Raleigh. So.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. Good deal. Yeah. So very, very accomplished. But for a while, talking out of school, he had an alcohol problem or alcohol and drug problem type thing. And I'm pretty sure that he beat that and became like a certified counselor or something. I don't know. But he, I'll tell you, in the 70s and 80s, he was somewhat three sheets to the wind and would admit it. But he wrote Old Fashioned Love Song for Three Dog Night. Yeah. And, you know, other things of that nature. So, yeah, I thought I Won't Last a Day Without You that the Carpenters did, of course. I have the Paul Williams version of that and think it's just great, which is odd for me to like that stuff, but I do in that case. So a number of things. Now, Rainy Days and Mondays, well, let's not talk. Let's just move right on, shall we? 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and we've got Gary in Austin. Welcome to WGN Radio, Gary.
Well, hey, Raleigh.
What's up?
You and Dennis were talking about KAY earlier, and I was just thinking about that station, and I wonder, with the amount of religious stations on FM that are doing teaching, that those big AM 6 are less important to the preachers.
I'd be surprised, and the reason I say that is when I was involved in religious radio, the reality was that the preachers cared more about coverage than anything. They didn't care if anybody was listening necessarily, but they wanted that coverage map. And that's why they loved the Mexican stations, the XCGs of the world. But coverage was literally everything. And in fact, the only people I know who got those preachers to buy that didn't have coverage were people who were kind of like in the flock, members of the National Religious Broadcasters Association. It was kind of a clique. And you'd see a lot of that. Woody Sudbrink, his AMs were almost all religion. Woody was really good at that. And, you know, no matter what his AMs had in terms of power, he was in that clique where, you know, he'd have somebody running it, like a guy like a Ray Cassis, who would, you know, get the preachers on board. But for the most part, they loved big sticks. So I would be surprised if KAAY could not attract them. But that said, it would probably cost Cumulus a pretty penny to bring that signal back to life and, of course, pay for it, too.
Right.
So
when they toured, they were top 40. They were the only top 40 station I ever heard that had religious programs on it. Yeah,
right.
Like I remember they had The World Tomorrow.
Well, Garner Ted Armstrong, yeah. Garner Ted Armstrong was on a number of stations that would surprise you.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was on a lot of them. You could go up and down the dial. FAA had him,
I think.
And,
right.
You know, various other, I think, CKY, I think, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of
like
them.
Thousands of them.
Yes.
But so it was so bizarre to hear that KAAY was supposed to be the big top 40 station go from into so out.
Interesting, because there also was one of the few AMs that actually dedicated night times directly to progressive rock when they had Bleecker Street.
Yeah, Bleecker Street, yeah. And he did, I guess, from the transmitter site.
Yeah.
So that's why they had that sounder in the background to camouflage the fence, so I understand. So.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who operated from the transmitter site, especially depending on what their license was and all that. I knew some morning guys, like the morning guy at WEBC in Duluth always had to do it from the transmitter site.
Didn't 7-9, didn't KULF or KTHT, didn't they broadcast the transmitter sites?
God, I don't know. They might have.
Or am I misremembering?
I don't know. I wouldn't see why they would have had to, because they were never carrying much in the way of wattage and all that, but I don't know.
I think they were 5-day,
I don't know. Yeah, that's 790. I don't know. And, of course, then there was KULF 1090 when it was there as an AM daytimer in Belleville. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think it went under. Yeah, I think they tried to move it into Houston and went Asian for a while.
Yeah.
Went under, I think.
And I think 790 became KBME or something, sports.
KBME, yeah. Sports.
Yeah.
For a while, Paul Berlin was there around the turn of the century.
And
when they were standard. So.
That nighttime signal on them is like a four-tower array, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I lived in Dallas, 790 was really good at night there. And I used to listen to 79Q at my job because I had all sorts of line interference in my house. So, and I worked at night, so I can listen to 79Q and at work. It was great to hear that station back then.
Oh, sure. And for historians who care about this and don't happen to know, it truly was 79Q, KKBQ AM, that brought back Top 40 as CHR in July of 82. And what was interesting is everybody was saying, well, they'll never work on AM. And, of course, they were number one in one book. Now, Gary Edens was smart. He knew he had to eat his young and put it on FM or somebody else would. But as far as getting the attention, they did it on AM.
Yeah, well, by then, KRB had kind of mellowed down quite a bit.
Well,
so,
everybody had. That's what I mean.
Literally,
this was really the rebirth of Top 40, if you were. Everybody had gone away from it. And, you know, then they talk about the Q Morning Zoo in New York and all this stuff. Yes, but KKBQ AM in Houston was the first one to do it.
You know, they've been country now for, 30-something years.
Yeah,
and I think of those call letters KKBQ, I think of them as Top 40. And I know that's just a blip in time for that station now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They've been a very highly successful country station since the 90s. So.
Well, I think of them. Morales. Was it Victor Morales? Morales owned it. KLVL. It was Spanish language. La Voice Latina. And it signed on at 92.5, actually. And Woody Sudbrink bought that. And Felix Morales, that's what it was. And I remember this because Hal Gore, who worked for Woody, was the guy who had to go close the deal with Felix. On Felix's kitchen table, by the way. And Felix had demanded cash. So, of course, as you'd expect, Hal Gore would come with a cashier's check certified and all that, right? No, Felix said, no, I mean cash. And Hal Gore had to go to the bank and get 175,000 actual greenbacks to give him on his kitchen table to get KLVL.
Ah. Hmm.
So, yeah, I remember that that story. But Woody always had the same format. You know, he'd take the AM and he'd make it religion to kind of, which was, you know, what, KYED, and make it religion. And then he'd take the FM and improve the signal, put Schulke on it, and sell it for a fortune. And that was the same deal there because he upgraded the signal. He got the 100,000 watts and he moved to One Shell Plaza and all that kind of stuff, KYND. And he sold it for $2 million. So, he did the same thing in Miami, did the same thing in Baltimore. He did this with alarming regularity, and it was great.
You know, I know that they had a delay with that tower crash moving to 92.9. So.
Well, that was just horrifying.
That was a horrible tragedy.
Horrifying, you know? Yeah. Now, at 82, it moved from 92.5 to 92.9 because there was 92.1 that was coming in from Seabrook, because this was also during the 80-90 docket and all that.
Right.
So I think they do something like AM stereo and originally was Con and then later Motorola.
Yeah, I think they may have used some kind of stereo on 790. Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I never got them that well to see what they were doing. Right. I didn't have any stereo. I did have ways of doing the Con system on 1310 that had it up there.
Yeah,
but.
Leonard Kahn was an interesting creature, and no matter what anybody says about him, he really did come up with it first. I'm not saying he came up with the best, but he definitely came up with it first. And
I've heard about him.
Leonard was a piece of work. Yeah, but very bitter, unfortunately, before he died, and then sadly, I think he got like Alzheimer's or something. It seemed like it in the end, but John Lander was doing mornings on 790. Houston stereo combination, AM stereo, and yeah, right. Oh, God.
790 and 92.9.
Right. The new 93 KBQ. Yeah.
When I was happy when they moved to 92.9 because I was living in Dallas still then.
So right.
It was great to hear them on trot.
Right.
Know? And so that was fun times back then.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
But wanted to mention those thoughts, and I always enjoy hearing Dennis's calls.
Me too.
There's so many things I'd like to ask him. If I ever had a chance to talk to him, I would.
Well, next time he's on, call in. We'll put you directly in touch with him.
I didn't even think about that. But no, I'm so busy listening to what he's saying. I don't want to interrupt the flow. So.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. But no, interrupt by all means. Always good to hear from you, Gary. Talk to you soon.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Bye. And as usual, I'm stepping all over the news. So we'll fix that now on WGN Radio.
You give your hand to me. Then you say hello. I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so. And anyone can tell. You think you know me well. But you don't know me. No, you don't know the one. Who dreams of you at night. And longs to kiss your lips and wants to hold you tight. To you I'm just a friend. That's all I've ever been. But you don't know me. All say goodbye. I watch you walk away beside that lucky guy. You'll never, never know the one that loves you so. No, you don't know me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is Mickey Gilley. That was for John. That's his favorite version. 1981. It was on Epic. And it was an interesting album titled You Don't Know Me, and that was one of the cuts, but a number of other things as well. All right, so 888-876-5593. Sharon is in Little Rock. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes. Hey, do you remember Craig O'Neill on KAY?
I remember Craig O'Neill very well, but not on KAY. In fact, I didn't even know he was on KAY. I knew him at KLAZ and then at KKYK.
I think he was on those. I was thinking he was on KAY. Sorry about that.
I think he started on KARN because it's not his name like most radio people. His name was Randy Hankins. And when he went to KARN, the program director said, "You're Craig O'Neill." And so he was. And so he went from there to KLAZ. And that's where he first kind of perfected that, those phone calls he's make. And he made a lot of wonderful crank phone calls, as you know, if you used to listen to him. But, when he was at KKYK in the 80s, he was, the number one personality in Little Rock.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then he went to TV. That's the last I heard. He was doing TV sports. I don't know. Did he retire from that?
Yeah, he retired from Channel 11K, I can't think of the call letters, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right, TV 11. I remembered that he had gone to that because I saw some interview where he said, "I just parked in front of them every day until they hired me." And I thought, well, it's probably more true than we know. And but I figured that by now he was retired. But yeah, KTHV was Channel 11.
Yeah.
So, good for him.
I was just wondering because you were talking about station AM stations and all that. And I just was wondering.
Yeah, but no, I think in all his time, I don't think he was ever on KAY. I think before Channel 11, he was on KURB, and that was the last one. So, B98.5. So I don't know. KLAZ, like I say, and KKYK, probably bigger than anywhere. Just terrific. But yeah, I could be wrong, but I don't think he was ever on KAY.
Yeah, I may have just got it all mixed up. I used to listen to him when getting ready to go to school and everything.
Sure.
So I was a big fan of him, especially when he did those crank calls.
Oh, they were great. Yeah, there was one, what was it, Jim Guy Tucker when he was running for Senate. That was hilarious. Yes, he posed as Jimmy Carter, and he was wishing him luck on the upcoming election. It was classic, yes. You betcha.
You know what? Okay, well, hey, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. I listen to you when I can't sleep at night.
Oh.
You're my only thing that, helps me go to sleep. If you're off, I'm usually sound asleep by then.
Well, good. Well, I'm happy to put you to sleep. But sleep is sacred. So if I can get you there, I feel honored. Thanks for calling and do it again, Sharon.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye. All right, so 888-876-5593 takes us to Cindy in Chicago. What's up tonight, Cindy?
Yeah, I'm real changeable. It sounds like a good idea to join the health club I used to belong to. Instead of going to that one pool in Chicago, I don't know. I mean, the health club, has a real nice pool and a hot tub and a sauna. And, I might find some friendly people to talk. I don't know. I have to call tomorrow and see how much it costs. I mean, I guess when I was a member, it was only $200 a year. I think it was LA Fitness.
Okay.
The national brand.
That's
chain.
A well-known chain. Well, why don't you try the Chicago pool first to see how you like it?
Well, I guess that sounds good, but I've gone there for years, and I just hadn't gone there, and I just remembered a lot of stuff.
Well, that was years ago. That was years ago, though. Give it a chance now.
I know, but there's just super rat people there, and I can't deal with it.
Well,
I just remembered a whole bunch of stuff. And then the one thing that's there is there's teenage heroin addicts breaking the locks and stealing everything people have to feed their addiction. And the one thing I just remembered this, the one thing that happened is the young girl. We were all coming out of the pool, and the young girl was crying, and she was like a young woman with her friend, and I'm like, I was afraid to ask her. I was like, what was wrong, you know? And she said she was just going to go to the pool and then go pay her tuition for nursing school, and she left her money in the lock. It was locked in the locker, and someone cut her lock and took her tuition money.
Anything can happen anywhere. You know, it's not a safe world, and that was a long time ago.
Then
nix the pool and check out, is it still LA Fitness? Is that the franchise?
I don't know.
Well, you'll find out.
The other thing I wanted to tell you about, I thought we'll see. I have to see how much it costs. If it's still $200, it's not bad. The prices have gone up, but, you know, I could just walk in the courtyard of my condo for exercise and then sit out. It's real lovely. There's flowers, and sit on the swing, And then what happened when I did that last weekend, Chuck Ghost appeared to me, and as usual, he puts his finger to his lips, don't speak. And he sat with me on his ghost sat with me on the bench. And he said, I'm always going to be with you.
Well, next time he comes, ask him what it's like on the other side. Get us details.
He doesn't say anything but raise his hands to his lips and, say, shh.
Well, that's no good.
I don't know. I mean,
all right.
I don't know. He doesn't.
I was hoping for some inside information here.
I don't know. I see his ghost. I mean, and then one time I had a dream, not too long after he died. I think I told you this before. I had a dream that he came to me and he said, I'm the only girl he has that he's waiting for to come to him to be in heaven with him.
All right. Well, that's a nice compliment. I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, I'm not worried about it, but it just lets me know, and he said it's going to be a long time before you're here, but you're coming.
Well, aren't we all?
Dream.
All right. Well, very good. All right, so you'll check into LA Fitness and you'll keep us posted.
Yeah, it's pretty nice there.
All right, very good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So we'll find out how Cindy does at that, since she's now nixed the pool. So 888-876-5593. Sherry is in Naperville. Sherry, what's up tonight?
Hey, Valley. It's been a wonderful night. But I wanted to just mention for Cindy real quick, also check into hospitals, because Edward Hospital in Naperville, which also has another big one in Lyle by Seven Bridges, and then they're also part of Elmhurst Hospital now. But they have health and fitness centers that you can join. And there's, nurses on the premises and stuff if you have any other problems. But
They actually on there, and I know what you're talking about. It's like their physical therapy facilities, but they actually have...
No, their pools.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the pools and all that stuff. But there's actual members for the member opportunities for the general public to use them?
Membership, yes.
Interesting.
And then
and
they have those stair stepper things and whatever else.
Right.
It's like going to a regular commercialized gym.
Right.
They even have locker rooms, and they have a big scale, thank God, in the locker room. But it's almost like this, just like a fitness center.
Right. No, exactly.
I did not realize. Cheaper.
Yeah, it probably is.
I'm just saying it might be a trend. Ours has been here for some time now.
It might be a lot more expensive.
So who knows?
Yeah.
But
All right. But
other than that, that was just a quick note, but if she's still listening. Tonight I was flipping out. I was on the balcony and I said, is she playing the Andrews Sisters?
Yes, we had a request for that.
Yes,
hold
and then
tight.
I heard, that's got to be Billie Holly. I said, oh, geez, I wish she'd play something like this on Monday Night Bumpers. At least I'd know something.
Well, no,
like
of course I wouldn't, because they are common. The Monday Night Bumpers will never be common. That's
you
the whole purpose. That's correct.
The needles in the haystack.
Right. Bumper stumpers are not supposed to be anything the general public would recognize.
Oh, okay, because you've made me feel stupid for as long as I've been listening to you. Anyway, I don't mean that, like, in a negative way. I just, you know, like, ignorant. Okay, and what was the other thing I was going to say? The guy with the sciatica thing, does mm-hmm. that mean he's not going to get his nerves deadened?
He's not going to have back surgery. He is going to do something else.
Oh, he is going to still, even with the pillow help?
Well, we don't know. He'd have to try the pillows, doesn't he? We don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to suggest also to try that helped me. I have sciatica, but that's not my main back problem. It's because I have two bones fused together. My hip is fused to part of my spine. But I had gotten, before COVID, that teeter thing, and I only put it at a 45-degree angle. There's a strap that makes it not go completely upside down, and I put it next to a wall so I can hold onto the wall if I need to. But it just relieves so much pressure and everything, and it straightens out your spine, it lengthens it, so like when you started getting turkey neck, it just, it went away.
All right.
Stuff like that. But, okay, then the last thing I wanted to talk about was Landecker yesterday had Kate Mulgrew on, the Captain Janeway from Voyager.
Uh-huh. Right.
She's coming to Comic-Con, and I rarely look at the schedule because I know who's on at all times pretty much, but sometimes they'll, like, say they're interviewing somebody special at a certain time, so I looked hoping, but no, it was just a general John Landecker. But I noticed on Thursday it said, I know a lot of people listen over the internet,
mm-hmm.
Streaming service that don't live in Chicago, and I just wanted to let you know, to let them know tomorrow, in case I fall asleep, that tomorrow at 1 o'clock, since you were talking about when you're having tornadoes and nobody's saying anything, or mm-hmm. dead stations, or
yeah.
this, that, and the other, that tomorrow at 1 a.m. for approximately an hour, they're upgrading the streaming service, so there won't be any air
right.
on the streaming service.
All right.
So I know, like, a lot of people are up late and they listen, you know, after you for mm-hmm. a while. So nothing's wrong with their radio or their streamer.
All right. Or they can just listen to a replay of my show on my stream. All right.
Well, that's fine. I'm just saying that
now we know.
Panic, what's wrong?
Okay. All right. Good to talk to you, Sherry. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, and I hope you feel a lot better tomorrow.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so we got James on the south side, and we'll see if we have room for that. If not, we got tomorrow night. We'll find out in moments here on WGN Radio.
In the moonlight.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Manfred Mann's Earth Band, and that was James on the South Side's request. We had a couple of his requests tonight, including a white sport coat, and unfortunately, we just ran out of time to talk to him about stories, so hopefully he will call us back tomorrow night, and we'll see what else he has on tap. Tomorrow was Assumption of Mary Day, Relaxation Day as well. I'm going to find out how to celebrate that. Your requests and calls and all that stuff will happen again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. I thank Adam for keeping us on the air. I thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank those of you who called. And apologies to everybody who waited and didn't get on. But there's always tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to it. Until then, it's WGN Radio.